Opening the scriptures to all of us. And now may the words that I speak and the meditations of our own hearts always be pleasing and always be acceptable unto you. For you are my Lord, you are my rock, and you are my gracious and holy Redeemer. Amen. I think the lectionary people who assign text for this Sunday specifically chose this scripture because it's a cold day. Because it's about the wine. It's about the celebration. It's about feasting on the goodness of God. So you see, the scripture really works in ways that we cannot understand. And according to the scripture lesson, there was a wedding on the third day in a certain place called Cana or Cana in Galilee. And according to the biblical writers and commentators, a typical wedding usually lasts for a period of 7 days, and there is much fanfare, including a serving of a full course of Mediterranean meal, and obviously, you know, you got to serve wine because it's a wedding. But the gospel writer was not really invested in detailing the whole business of marriage arrangement from the beginning to the end. So it's really an elaborate process of inviting, maybe disinviting, preparing not only the groom and the bride, but also preparing for the future. But like many of you, I get more of my biblical history from watching YouTube, or sometimes from watching Fiddler on the Roof. You know that. And I like that because it is about the elaborate ceremony of receiving the bride, and there is this wonderful canopy, isn't it? And the rabbi breaks the bread, gives the bread, I think, to the bride and to the groom, and drinks from the cup and gives the drink also to the couple. And now the father of the groom and the mother of the groom sat silently in darkness, and all of a sudden there is this pivotal turning point moment for me. The prayer was offered and the song was rendered, was Sunrise, Sunset. I think if you see that, I'm going to see a lot of tears from your eyes, talking about children growing up and how fast they grow. But there's also a lot of funny stuff in there, right? Especially when the father dances and who were a rich man and all of these beautiful songs embedded in our memory because of that story. But I also like some of the drinking song, but this is not an endorsement about drinking. I want to be sure that I am not endorsing drinking, especially early in the morning. But I like this drinking song from the opera La Traviata, and you can Google it. It's a wonderful song. But the whole idea of toasting, giving thanks for this fleeting moment of time has nothing to do with wedding, but it has something to do with giving thanks, with celebrating the goodness of life in the midst of our own lives. So I like the biblical narrative. Jesus was invited, and the story says, and his mother Mary was there. We know that Joseph was dead already at this particular time. Well, we know the rest of the story. Strong women, strong mom. So don't mess around with your mom. Wine ran out. Mary turned to Jesus. Hey, you know, you can change the world. You can challenge the government. Can you do something different about this water? Maybe offer something that it is good. Change the water into wine. Can you fix this? Actually, it was more of a subtle hint. They ran out of wine. They ran out of the good stuff. And then I love the scripture which says, do whatever you have to do, he told the servants. Do whatever he tells you what to do. And I think it's important because I believe it would be fair for us to say that Mary would like to spare the couple. Maybe they were good friends. It doesn't say. Maybe they were family members. It didn't say. To avoid an embarrassing moment for the host. We do not have any idea of the number of invited guests. But my feeling is the community is larger than close friends and family. The community is the community. And so when you have the wedding, you bring all the people down, cattle and animals and whatever walk on the face of that community, everything is there. So I read many accounts of this story, and the story ends up always in a joyful note. And as I said, this is not an endorsement in social drinking, because you know, Welch, which we use for communion, was a dentist, and he was a Methodist, and that's why he grew rich, because once the Methodist movement prohibited alcohol consumption, he took that as an opportunity to be rich. So we're still drinking Welch juice, right? Because of that. It is not an endorsement in social drinking, but rather the story is an endorsement about the goodness of God to surprise us always with grace. You see, when I look at the scripture, some of you remember four weddings and a funeral. It's kind of like that, you know. Jesus was going to a wedding, but in terms of the scripture tradition, he had been calling disciples to follow him. He heard about John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness. So these are really serious stuff that Jesus was dealing with. And all of a sudden in the narrative, Jesus was invited to go to a wedding. But you see, in the story, the Bible always reverses things. The wedding in Cana of Galilee is really symbolic of how God is going to change our world. How an insignificant place like Cana of Galilee became the centerpiece for the goodness of God. How Jesus himself, you know, never known in that community, was transformed by the power of God. God chose a small village in a very insignificant place precisely to remind us of the goodness of God. Because according to the story, there is a new management. It has taken place. It is here right now. Do whatever he tells you, according to Mary. I was talking to some Latinos, Latinas, Hispanic brothers and sisters in ministry, because I was mentoring them a couple of years ago. And I asked them, well, what do you think of this story? Oh, and they started to laugh. You know, we love this biblical story, you know, because we have been accustomed to, you know, mañana habit, you know, later on. But he said, but this mañana habit in the scripture is important, because if we are given the opportunity to wait, if we just wait for a little bit longer, we are going to be surprised by God. We love this story because God, after all of our waiting, breaks forth and he gives us great joy. And the second thing also that I learned from these is the nature of discipleship. You know, when Mary says, do whatever he tells you, it talks about discipleship. It talks about our commitment to God, you know, our commitment to turn away from other things and to turn to God. So Jesus, the provider of the most exquisite wine. So the first slide that I have is the water jar used for cleansing. According to the story, there were about six water jars in the Bible. And I was thinking, why would there be water jars used for ceremonial washing of hands? That's supposed to be a wedding, isn't it? If you go to a wedding, we're not going to have a baptism. We're not going to have a communion. Sometimes we have communion. We're not going to have any kind of healing service or anointing service. We're not going to have an altar call. When we go to a wedding, we expect, well, there's going to be a ceremony, there's going to be dancing and singing, and there's going to be a celebration. So why would there be water jars, six of them? And then according to the story, at this particular moment, Jesus said, there's another slide, another water jar, something like that. They ran out of wine. Now, I would think that they would put the wine into nice wineskin or nice jugs, isn't it? So that they can serve them. But Mary, the mother of Jesus, said, can you do something? And Jesus went and told the disciples, filled the water jar to the brim. And then the stewards came later on, tasted it, and they said, it's really good. You really had waited until the very last moment to give us the very best. But you see, most of us, like the people during that time, are accustomed to something like this. There's another slide, isn't it? That's what we are accustomed to. Trader Joe's. It's $1.99 plus tax. How many of you have tasted Charles Shaw? See, many of us have tasted that. It's terrible, isn't it? But it does the trick, you know. You're not going to serve Charles Shaw $1.99 for a wedding. You want to maybe spend a couple of more bucks to go up a little bit higher on the entertainment scale. But this is what they have been drinking. And Jesus, after that, offered the best wine. Do you know this wine costs about $25,000? $25,000. But the other slide, can you go back to that? It's about six pallets of this. That's about six pallets, they said, you know. But the water jar contains about 130 gallons, or the equivalent of six pallets of wine, or the equivalent of these number of bottles. So that's why they were so happy. If they're going to spend that wine that costs about $12,000 or $23,000. In my unscientific calculation, Jesus picked up the bill of about $135,000 for that whole event. Can you imagine that? $135,000. Because you see, in those days, food and wine were not served indiscriminately to the people. You know, you don't get to choose the best wine. It depends on where you sit. If you sit in the front, maybe you'll get the best. If you sit in the middle, oh, maybe it's a step up. But if you're staying all the way in the back, just like you folks, you get the Trader Joe's or the special that they are having. So all of you who are in the front, just a few of you, except Jerry and Shirley, they're the ones who get the very best. But if you are Elaine and Enriquez and some of you, you get the $1.99 stuff. But that's the reality of the culture right there. But Jesus, in this scripture, is really saying there is something liberating when we acknowledge that God is in charge in our lives. Can you imagine all of the vineyard owners in that place? Jesus said, when you receive Christ and follow God, you are going to receive the very best, the goodness of God in our lives. So it's an endorsement, really, of the joy in our lives. Because sometimes I believe that we are accustomed to being mediocre. We are accustomed to settling for the ordinary. But Jesus said, no. Because in the midst of all of the political turmoil and intrigues of the quarrels during that time, of allegiance to Rome, and allegiance to Herod, and allegiance to powers that be, well, Jesus said, guess what? There is a new management. And my coming and my presence to all of you is the beginning of the goodness of God. And so I think it is also with our lives when we make that step of faith
to experience the goodness of God, so that when we leave this place, we radiate the joy, the beauty, the holiness, the discipleship, the sweetness of God's grace upon our lives. And I tell you, in our world today, this is something that we really need. This is something that the world is looking. Because if we cannot offer that to the people that we meet, to our brothers and sisters, somebody else will offer something else. But we offer what God has to give. Thanks be to God. Amen.